Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. I am Mark Lawrence, and I am joined today by John Shipman, who I'm glad to say is a good friend, probably known you, 20-some years? Maybe
25.
And former Sunbury official in terms of Sunbury City Council, so he's been an elected leader in Sunbury, and is currently on Sunbury Revitalization Incorporated Spark Committee, which is Sunbury Pride and Renaissance Coalition, and he's also one of the co-chairs of the Albright Center, so we're glad to say. And he comes in here, he's a good local conservative, Republican businessman, right?
Right.
That's Ben Reichle's introduction, so.
Yeah.
But that's what you are, and he always says, well, I'm an American first. That's his main hat, so.
I think most of us are Americans first.
Well, I think so, too. Yeah, that's a good point. It's not say I don't think he's trying to say that anybody else is un-American, although there are some people who email or call, or maybe me, who he feels have some un-American views, but I don't think he really voices that. Yeah. This is a kinder, gentler Ben, so.
Yeah.
Oh, Gentle Ben, that's maybe where
there you go.
Maybe he adopted that policy. It was a wonderful TV show. Well, we have John Shipman with us, so let me introduce the show, and then our guest is standing by. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You are welcome throughout our program to email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236, and we'll give you the instructions as to how to do that coming up today. But on the news line right now, we have Mark Friedenberg. Lives in the State College area. He's a professor at Penn State University. He's been a Democratic candidate for U.S. Congress in the past in the 12th District, and now that we have a former congressman, is now out of office, and the office is vacant. Mark Friedenberg is back in, expressing an interest in becoming the Democratic nominee for U.S. Congress in the 12th District. That's Tom Marino's district. So welcome aboard, Mark. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you so much. Glad to be with you again.
I do appreciate that. What is the process for you to get on the ballot again? We know the special election is in the spring with the primary, so we know when it will be. The office will be vacant until then. How does a Democrat go about getting on the ballot?
On the Democratic side, it's decided by the Pennsylvania Democratic Committee. It's a vote of the members of the executive committee, and they'll be looking at recommendations from the local Democratic parties in each of the 15 counties across the district.
We haven't heard directly from any other Democrat who is interested. Have you heard anyone else that is interested in that nomination?
There are rumblings, but nothing confirmed that I've heard, no.
All right, but you are out there. You've announced you're in the race. You hope to be the nominee on the Democratic ticket. So reintroduce yourself to our audience. Fortunately, we have spoken to you a number of times during your initial announcements and the primary and the campaign for Congress last year. So go ahead and reintroduce yourself to our audience.
Sure, thank you. Yes, my name is Mark Friedenberg. I'm an assistant teaching professor at Penn State in the College of Information Science. So I got my master's degree in information science, and I have a law degree from Columbia. Practiced law in New York, suing the big Wall Street banks that caused the financial crisis a little over a decade ago. Got an opportunity to come back to Penn State to teach, to combine the two passions that I have for law and technology, and so I teach cyber law and cyber security courses here. This is my seventh year teaching at Penn State. My wife, Becky, and I, we have two young daughters, five and three. And the campaign last year was my first, and I'm really excited to have the opportunity to continue the work that we were doing. We always felt that, you know, just with more time, we would have been more successful, and we've got that opportunity now, so I'm very excited to be out on the trail again.
Tell me about your viewpoints. We have a shutdown that's now over, so we have big topics that are being discussed. What are the main things that you can say that outline you as a candidate and as a Democrat?
Sure. I think a lot of the big issues for me boil down to what are the needs of this district. And overwhelmingly, this district is older than average. It is less financially well-off than average. This is a working person's district. And so I tend not to favor policies that favor big corporations that are already extremely wealthy over the working folks, over folks who have already worked their entire careers and are now relying on Social Security. And, you know, we just saw a report yesterday, for example, that the huge tax cut from end of 2017 is really not having the kind of impact that was promised in terms of expanding business and creating new jobs, which is very predictable. These companies already had money. It's not making its way back into workers' pockets. It's not having the kind of impact that we wanted. So I'm more interested in programs that can deliver real, meaningful quality of life, kitchen table kinds of improvements for working people in this district who need health care, who need jobs, who need to make sure that Medicaid or Social Security or Medicare are not going to be cut. And I think one of the things that we can do to, you know, better create an environment for business in this district is to get everybody connected to the internet. And we are so far behind, even the rest of Pennsylvania and a lot of the rest of the country as well, in terms of broadband penetration, people being able to get access to high-speed internet in their homes and in their businesses. And again, I think that you look at a company like Comcast, they don't see it as a worthwhile investment to deliver high-speed internet to, say, the northern tier of this district up in Susquehanna County, for example. I think when there's that kind of market failure, those folks in Susquehanna are never going to be able to compete for jobs. They're not going to be able to start up businesses that can compete with those in Philly or State College or Pittsburgh. And we need to create that kind of level playing field to help the working folks in this district.
Hi, Mark. This is John Shipman. How are you today?
Great. Very nice to meet you.
My pleasure to talk to you. Mark, I just want to talk to you a little bit about your comments on the economy. We had continued record growth in economic output in December. We have record low unemployment that lows that reach all the way back into the early 60s now. We have more Americans working now than ever in the history of the country, and the economic outlook is bright. Even the predicted catastrophes from the tariff fight and the government shutdown have not happened. Unemployment with the government, 800,000 government employees laid off, unemployment actually went down in December. So I'm not quite sure why you're saying that the economy is so bad.
Sure. Well, to be clear, I'm not saying that the economy is so bad. I'm pointing to that $1.5 trillion tax cut, for example, as something that, you know, we're going to be paying the price for that. That is mostly just adding to the deficit, and our children and grandchildren will pay for that. Now, that would be okay if that money was doing some good now. I don't think it is. Now, aside from that, you're right. There has been, for about 10 years now, a nice increase a decrease in unemployment. We have not seen, under the prior administration or this one, the kind of wage growth that I would like to see, that I would expect to see, that, you know, people are just working harder and harder. They're working more hours. They're cobbling together more jobs. We can do better than that as Americans. We are we are the wealthiest country in the history of the world, and we ought to go back to the way that it used to be, where if you put in a fair day's work, you could get a fair day's pay. And I think for too many people, that is fundamentally broken. You know, you mentioned the tariff. That actually has been disastrous for many of the people that I've talked to, including farmers, people who are, were about to break ground on construction projects, and the cost of steel doubled on them. Those are the farmers who relied upon getting checks, weren't able to get it during the government shutdown, these sort of compensatory checks that the administration set up for folks who were harmed by the by the tariffs. So that hasn't, we haven't seen the kind of growth that you would like to see. That's the bigger problem, is that we can be doing so much better. We need to be thinking bigger. We need to be delivering real, meaningful reforms for people, making their lives better in significant ways, moving the trend line up in an important way.
Well, actually, Mark, wage growth was flat from the late 1990s until 2016. And only in the last 2 years have working Americans seen an increase in their pay. One of the reasons that is because the past two administrations, one Democrat and one Republican, have not done anything to secure the borders. And so illegal immigration, and I'm for legal immigration, but illegal immigration has really driven down the wages of working people. I don't understand why the Democratic Party refuses to do something about that when it's the working people that are being hurt. If you're an American citizen and you go to work for someone, you have a Social Security number, they have to put you on the payroll, they have to pay payroll taxes on your behalf, and you have to pay payroll taxes, and so you support the economy, but you also support the government. If you're an illegal immigrant, you don't have a work number, and you don't have a Social Security number, so you work under the table. And so now you are willing to work for less money, and the employer can afford to pay you less money because the employer isn't paying your Medicare and Medicaid, your employer isn't paying workman's compensation and unemployment compensation. And so now that illegal immigrant can work for $2 or $3 an hour less than an American citizen. So the working people are being hammered in this country, and the Democratic Party refuses to see that it's an issue.
Well, I'll say two things. First, I agree with the vast majority of what you've said there. Having people work legally beats illegally every time, and I think that there is a clear outline. We've known it for a couple of years, I think, of a compromise that we can reach, a comprehensive immigration reform that includes a pathway to citizenship that gets people to be able to work legally, that fills the needs of a lot of employers in this district who can't find Americans who are willing to do the work that they need to do. And I think that is certainly a kind of compromise that we can reach in exchange for other kinds of border security measures, which everybody wants, right? Nobody wants criminals or terrorists coming across the border. The question is, you know, what kinds of measures are going to be the most effective? And experts, I think, are telling us that things like technology, increased manpower, those sorts of things can be very effective. And I can't speak for the entire Democratic Party. I can speak for myself as a candidate. And I think that those are certainly things that we should be investing in. But I would say the wage story, it really goes back even further. There was some sort of sugar high growth in the 90s from the dot-com bubble. But really, I would say from the 70s on, we've been in this kind of stagnation. We see, and I see it on the trail, kind of the death of the American dream for so many people, this assumption that your kids' lives were going to be better than yours, and that yours was going to be better than your parents. That is, I think, a really fundamental part of the American narrative that is simply not working anymore.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Stand by, John. John's ready with a follow-up question. Immigration, taxes, health care, the deficit, these are the things that are up for discussion. Mark, you stand by. We got to take a quick break, so hold on. And we have Mark Friedenberg on the line. When we come back, we'll take some calls. If you have a question for Mark Friedenberg, he's a Democratic candidate for U.S. Congress in the 12th District. We'll be right back, but call us now if you have a question for him. 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC Way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, one of our listeners sends us a text. Mr. Mark Friedenberg sounds like a good leftist, hitting all the talking points. He won't get my vote, but I do have a question. Where's his stand on gun control? All right, so we'll put Mark back on the line. Mark, your stand on controlling or changing laws that relate to guns, what's your view there?
Sure. You know, I think there are some common sense gun safety measures that we need to adopt. And these are things that are supported overwhelmingly by the American public, by Republicans, by gun owners, by NRA members. Things like universal background checks, raising the minimum age for purchasing firearms to 21, keeping guns out of the hands of domestic abusers and people who have been found through due process, through the courts, to present a risk of domestic violence. Those are things that we need to do. And, you know, this is something that it's hard to connect gun safety laws with any particular incident. But, you know, I'm looking over downtown State College right now. We had a horrific shooting Thursday night into Friday, 4 dead. And it becomes routine at a certain point. And I think that as Americans, we can always do better. We are problem-solving people. And we can find ways to protect constitutional rights, while at the same time making sure that people who are out at a restaurant or at a stadium or in school don't need to worry about being suddenly part of the next mass homicide.
All right. Universal background checks aren't supported by the NRA, just to be 100% clear there. We have a caller on the line, Dale. Oops, I'm sorry. Hold on, Dale. And Mark, you're still there. Okay, perfect. Let me, I got to put you on hold. There we go. Okay, Dale, you're on the mark. Mark, you'll be able to hear Dale just barely. So, Dale, please speak up.
Yeah, what the problem is with an economy is we're still in a secular economy. We're not in a circular economy, which therefore we have no growth. And until we reduce the size of government dramatically, we can have a circular economy, which is a capitalist country. So I think the people who are government, you know, don't want to reduce the size because they're basically hooked on welfare. And that, who would want to get off welfare when welfare is treating them so good?
Dale, Dale, do you have a question for Mark? Go ahead, real quickly.
Yeah. Like Donald Trump says, he's going to reduce regulations and, you know, stipulations on the economy. Like, you know, the weak die and the strong survive. What is he going to do to make sure that everyone has a fair shot and make it a circular economy, not a secular economy?
All right. Well, it sounds like a good question. Mark, go right ahead.
You know, I'm so sorry. I could barely hear Dale's question. Could you repeat it?
Just making sure that the economy is fair and open to everybody as it continues to grow, and not just people who might already be very successful. How can we grow an economy that's open to all?
Oh, sure. Yeah, what a great question, because, I mean, that is the fundamental challenge. The pie is so big, but so many of us are getting so little of it. And I think it's because we've neglected to invest in the kind of infrastructure, the kind of business environment that served us so well through a lot of the post-war period. As I travel around the district, again, the broadband issue is a huge part of it. Literally, roadways, bridges, people are not able to afford to send their kids to school anymore. They're not able to get the kinds of health care that they need. You can't move up without having those fundamentals be put in place. And I think as long as you have politicians who are taking money from the folks who are already doing really, really well, they will continue to vote in the interests of the people who are already doing really, really well. That's why, for example, I've said I'm not going to take a dime of corporate PAC money. And I think that's a really important reform that we need to make. I think if we create the environment where everybody has a fair chance to succeed, again, where those fundamentals are taken care of, then our capitalist system, which has served us so well and will continue to serve us so well, will be the engine. We just want to make sure that there's roadway for everybody to be able to take part in the race.
All right, health care, your view on what to do about health care.
Yeah, healthcare, I think, is really the top issue, at least as I see it in this campaign. For so many people, healthcare is unaffordable. They are spending time haggling with insurance companies that, of course, aren't too interested in paying for the kinds of care that they need. They are staying in jobs which they really don't want to, or more to the point, could be more productive elsewhere because they have the kinds of healthcare that they need as part of that job. Small businesses can't compete with bigger ones in terms of offering the kinds of health care that people need. Again, I think that is something that is holding us back, that is creating this division between the haves and the have-nots, the rich and the poor, the big corporations and the small businesses that are really going to be succeeding in this district. And so, you know, I'm a supporter of Medicare for All, and what that means is that we have the same quality of care. I think that people in this district ought to have the same quality of care that I do at Penn State, which is pretty good, or that members of Congress do as well. I think as Americans, you know, we take care of each other. We realize that we are a people that, as a case of morality, but also as an economic matter, we need to be investing in each other, because that's how we grow. That's how we improve society and make it more fair for everybody.
All right. So how would we do that? I watched Kamala Harris last night talk about Medicare for All. That's her idea. What's your idea?
Yeah, I mean, the Medicare for All system is essentially that it replaces treating health for many Americans who receive their health care now through their employer. And having that be deducted from their payroll and having the employer pay for it as well. Moving it to the system through which basically we fund Medicare now for older Americans. And the reason why I think that system makes a lot of sense and why it would work is that the Medicare system today has about 3% overhead versus the for-profit insurance industry has about 31% overhead. A lot of that is profit. A lot of that is claims administration trying to deny claims, and people are waiting around a long time, too, to get those claims processed. It's a much more efficient system, and people don't need to worry that they're going to have the kinds of care that they need if they want to start up their own business or if they need to take some time off to be with family members and so forth. I think that's the ideal that we need to be moving toward.
Well, Mark, I'd like to say two things about healthcare. Number one, the healthcare system that we have, the Affordable Care Act, has failed in almost every way to deliver what was promised. We were told that we would have more access, that you could keep your doctor, that you could keep your health care plan, that every family would save $2,500 a year on their health insurance. And in fact, what's happened is pretty much just the opposite. Costs have spiraled. Let me just tell you that I've spent 48 years in the insurance business. I've sold health insurance policies since 1970, when they were $70 a year for a person and $250 a year for a family. And I can tell
That's
you,
nice.
Yeah, and I can tell you that what's happening now is that we have a very limited menu. The government has established that all plans are Cadillac plans. So, for instance, if you're a couple at 60 years old, you have to buy maternity coverage. Whether you want maternity coverage or need maternity coverage, you have no choice because there is only one plan. The only thing that you can do on that plan is select different deductibles or copays. So before the ACA was passed in 2007, 2008, I could sell a single person a health insurance policy with a $1,000 deductible, which was high in those days, $1,000 deductible, and unlimited coverage. After $10,000 out of pocket, the plan paid 100%. Today, that same plan costs about $1,350, but that same person now will get a $1,200 subsidy from the taxpayers, so they actually pay only $150. So the individual pays less, but the taxpayers are picking up a huge percentage of the cost already. And yet, we see that that health care is less available. You used to have to wait maybe 2-3 weeks for a test. Now it might be 2 or 3 or 6 months for a test. The ACA is not working. I just recently retired, but I've worked with that for 48 years, and I can tell you that health insurance, and I agree with you, health insurance needs to be something done. But we could have fixed the health insurance with a few minor things, like mandatory coverage for those who have pre-existing conditions, making a pool like we do for people who have tremendous, you know, 16 automobile accidents but still have to drive to work. And we can fix other insurance, but we couldn't fix health insurance.
All right. Thank you so much, Mark. We don't have time for a response, but we do invite you to call again in the future. Come and visit us in our studios near Shamokin Dam across the river from Sunbury. We'd love to hear you back here, and good luck as you go through your process of trying to get on the Democratic ballot. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Mark, could I just say real quick?
We don't have time. You can call back after the top of the hour. How about that? You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. It is the 29th day of January, 2019. Rob Center is our fabulous producer, so we want to give him full credit. Joe has the day off, but Mr. John Shipman volunteered to come in. What was the weather doing when you came in? People are nervous about the snow out there.
Actually, it had stopped. There wasn't anything happening when I came up the hill.
All right, now we had predicted up to 18 inches of snow a week ago, and we got about 4 inches of soaking wet snow, and we predicted 2 to 4 today, and we got a dusting. One more strike, and we're going to switch. I don't know who you'd switch to. Everybody had predicted 2 to 4 or more. Yeah. Same with the last storm. So both of these storms didn't go bust, per se, but didn't deliver the punch that was expected. So what, the boy who cried wolf or something.
I think this one moved a little east of us.
Somebody's getting it.
I think they're getting it. Poconos are supposed to get a good shot again.
Okay. All right. So that's the weather. As a result, we had a scattering of school closures today. Probably half our winter net list closed, and the rest was right on schedule. But one school district that was listed as a two-hour delay is now closed, and that's Juniata County. They opted for the closure. And I could see why, as we were watching the radar earlier this morning over the Huntington Mountain Range in that region, probably all the way up to maybe Center County, Bald Eagle area, there was snow. That mountain was extracting snow out of the clouds, and they were getting it looked like it was coming down pretty steadily there. So that's right in the heart of the Juniata County District. So Juniata County School District was on a delay. Now they are closed. On the Mark, sponsor by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. You can call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. Stan has sent us a couple of texts, to say the very least, a half a dozen anyway, and we'll read those. He sent them to us, so we'll take the time to read them. What he's using is the Text Connect system, which allows us to notify you in the event that there's a news alert we want to pass along, whether it's local news or national news or weather-related news. We use Text Connect to send you a short statement and then a link. If you want to follow up on the link, just click on the link, and that opens you up on a web page where you'll find more information. If maybe the information that you receive is sufficient, patient. You don't have to click on the link, and that's the end of that. Maybe a dozen messages at the most per month via Text Connect. We don't sell your phone number. We don't send you any ads. It's just our way of notifying you that we've put something up at WKOK.com, and it's time for you to maybe check it out. We do have some brief news headlines. No more countdown in the downtown on New Year's Eve from Sunbury Revitalization Incorporated. The group announced last night at the council meeting that they won't sponsor the New Year's Eve celebration. They handed it off to the city and said if the city is interested, they can. SRI reiterated that it isn't part of their core mission to do that type of celebration, but they would be interested in helping the city if the city wants to take the lead. So to be continued, there last year. Countdown in the downtown was not held at the last moment. Word came out that there were insufficient volunteers and support for that activity. What have we done well? What are the challenges? What are the successes? Those are questions that Jody Auker is asking about Sunbury these days. She's the new Sunbury City Administrator.
I have enjoyed getting to meet all the employees, and I've enjoyed getting to spend some, you know, one-on-one time with each of the council members so that I can just learn. And I'm looking for other training opportunities with professional organizations, Pennsylvania Municipal League, etc., so that I can get that background and context to be effective at my job.
All right. Your next plans to meet with department employees to get their perspective on what is working well and what they see as priorities going forward in the city of Sunbury. A Frontier-era cabin in Lewisburg is being moved again and is being donated to the Union County Historical Society. The Historical Society says the log cabin that dates back to 1789 is in the process of being dismantled and moved to the Dale Angle Walker property. Second time it's actually moved. The first time it was built along the Middle Creek in Snyder County and then moved to a property near Lewisburg, and now Marsha Milne of Lewisburg donated the cabin, and it'll go out at that Lynn Conservancy land out in the rural Lewisburg. The log cabin had in the 1800s served both Native Americans and European settlers as a trading post along the Native American Tuscarora Path in that part of Snyder County. And CBS News says Face the Nation moderator Margaret Brennan will sit down with President Donald Trump for an interview that will air before Sunday's Super Bowl. CBS says the interview will be taped Friday. Part of it will air during the regular Face the Nation broadcast Sunday morning. And the president is back to doing White House briefings. There was one yesterday and one earlier. The president had stopped the White House briefings earlier. And also President Trump has accepted an invitation from the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to give a State of the Union speech in the House on February 5th. So that will be, and the president said yes. How about that?
Yeah.
So, what did, let's see, we have a bunch of emails and texts and a caller standing by. You had asked a pretty good question about health insurance, and so we're going to talk about that with our caller in a moment. And we did say to Mark Friedenberg as we departed that he can call now, and if he wants to get a response in to John's remarks about health care and where we can go in the future. To that end, we'll pick up that moment now and or that topic right now. We have a caller standing by. Sherry from Sealance Grove is on the line. Good morning, Sherry. You're on the mark. Thanks for calling in today.
Thank you for taking my call. There are many things I could respond to about Mr. Shipman's representation of health insurance in this country. I would say it's clear that many of the problems he details predate the ACA, but I really want to home in on this issue of people paying for care they don't use, in particular maternity care. First of all, insurance works that way, right? Nobody gets an insurance plan that covers only the issues that they will ever suffer. I'm not a smoker, but I pick up the cost for smokers. I don't have erectile dysfunction, but I pick up the cost for Viagra, and on and on and on. But that's how insurance works. It's disingenuous to make it sound like that was some particular quirk of the ACA. But more specifically, I am tired of women's health care being thrown under the bus. First of all, maternity care benefits our entire society. If we are not a society that can invest in our young people, we are lost. It does nobody any good to have premature babies born, to have babies born with preventable health birth defects, to have babies born with birth defects who do not have the adequate care awaiting them. So it is every much in everybody's interest to make sure that women who are pregnant have adequate health care. They didn't get pregnant on their own. The children they produce will not be theirs alone. They will be the future members of our society. So I appreciate a candidate like Mark Friedenberg, who takes a holistic approach to caring for members of our society.
Well, we have to hear him out. We ran out of time because of the CBS News, and now he did send us a message that he had to go into class and can't respond, but I extended the information tomorrow or any day for him to call and respond to and elaborate on his remarks about health care. Plus, he's welcome here to call anytime, as any caller is, and he's welcome to come and visit us as a bona fide candidate. He gets that luxury, so he can come back and visit anytime. So we do hope to hear from him. Let me ask you, Sherry, and then I'll let John respond. What should we do about health care? I heard Kamala Harris again, you know, last night, and we hear Mark Friedenberg saying that Medicare for all is the way to go. Is that something that you would favor?
I would favor that. I have lived in places where health care is affordable to everybody. These are places where people have so much less anxiety in their lives. Right now, tying our health care to our employer is the worst case scenario. You get sick, you have to leave your job because you have a chronic illness, and now you also don't have health care. I mean, that just, on the face of it, we all ought to recognize that as ridiculous. In a country that is as affluent as ours, and I know we have a discourse here of scarcity, but we know also that we are the wealthiest nation in the world. We need to take care of our citizens. Healthy citizens are productive citizens. There is a virtuous cycle of people being healthy, contributing to the workforce, being productive, not being afraid to start that new business. You know, there's a few open shops in downtown all around our area right now. What if some entrepreneurial person wanted to open up a shop but was afraid of losing their health care because they were leaving their big parent company, right? There would be a virtuous cycle if we could insure everyone. And the amount that I pay as a copay and that my employer pays is not inexpensive.
Medicare for all, John.
Medicare for all.
John?
First of all, I'd like to say that I agree that health care is essential, and it should be available to everyone, and it should be affordable. More government programs won't make that happen, however. Every time the government gets involved in anything, the cost goes up and the efficiency goes down. So
that is not true for Medicare.
Oh, yes, it
is. I mean, Medicare is case exhibit A to counter that. It is extremely affordable. It has very low overhead. Everybody who is on it likes it, and I don't even know where that, it sounds like a talking point, but it's not backed up by data.
It's not efficient. We spend $1 trillion a year on Medicare. Okay, so it's not efficient, and I can tell you that seniors who are on Medicare now are beginning to see the doctors decline, for instance. If you have a history of colon polyps, you used to be able to have a colonoscopy every 3 years to have it checked. Now the government says it has to be 10 years. People over 75 aren't.
You know, I also have private insurance, and I would say whether you get follow-ups for polyps with 3 years, 5 years, or 10 years depends on the nature of the polyp, the number of the polyp, the age at which the polyp started. So if, you know, if you don't need a colonoscopy every 3 years, heaven knows, who would want one?
Oh, I agree with you.
Right.
Nobody wants one. But
I appreciate those kind of efficiencies. I think that's wonderful. In terms of how much we spend on Medicare every year, you know, you can't just toss out a number because you also have to put it in the context of how much would we be paying for private insurance vis-a-vis that number you're tossing out. And I have to say, my private insurance has skyrocketed, and I wait for months to see a physician. So this kind of this halcyon picture of private industry being this fine-tooled machine that works efficiently and inexpensively and promptly, that's not the experience most Americans have with their private health insurance.
All right, Sherry, thank you so much for calling in. Really, really super appreciate it. Always appreciate your viewpoints. Keep listening. We do appreciate it. All right, we got a call coming in. We got one email that says, "Go, Sherry, go. I agree with just about everything she said, and she said it so well," says Margaret. Now, your response without interruption, please.
Well, the point is that healthcare needs reform, and we need to take a good look at it. It needs to be affordable. It needs to be available. And I don't think anybody disagrees with that. I think the disagreement is, how should we best approach that? Mark said that insurance companies make 31% profit. That's not true. The state of Pennsylvania, first of all, health insurance, like all other insurance, is regulated at the state level, generally speaking. The state of Pennsylvania allows no more than 6% for gross profit. The Affordable Care Act requires a percentage. Used to be the states allowed 70%, required 70% in claim payout. The Affordable Care Act ups that, depending on the status and so forth, to either 75% or 80%, so that now the insurance companies have to pay a certain amount in claims. So that means that they have reduced administrative costs, and that is because you can't fight claims anymore. Virtually everything is covered, and so the insurance company pretty much pays the claims. But you have to pay somebody to process the paperwork. Nobody processes paperwork for free. Those people who, whether they work for an insurance company or whether they work for the government. One of the things about Medicare is that all the paper processing that is done has to be done, and most of that the government hires private contractors, because they private contractors can do it cheaper than government employees.
Well, in hospital employees, you didn't mention them. One of my friends works in Geisinger and the Geisinger Health Plan, and talks about the fact that every single claim, it isn't all computers. There is actually a piece of paper for every claim, and everyone gets touched by a human and looked at and examined and exactly. Scrutinized before it goes to anybody or gets paid or anything. So there is personnel involved. All right. Well, we got a fabulous discussion underway. Mr. Stan is texting just as fast as he can, so we appreciate that. We had Mark Friedenberg on the line earlier, and he can call back in the future, and we'll keep this healthcare discussion going. There's one thing that we noted when Sherry called in a short time ago and when John is talking, that we both agree that we need reforms. We got to make some changes. And you both mentioned two or three things in common. You both said the same thing. You both said two or three things that aren't the same. But if we can just hone on and get people at the table in Washington or wherever it happens to be, maybe it'll start on the mark. We'll do that right here. But we're going to do that after the break, though.
Okay.
But we invite folks to call in if you want to weigh in on our healthcare roundtable right now. Mark Friedenberg got us started. Stan's keeping us going. And we're glad to say that John Shipman is quite knowledgeable in this area, and that is really helping us. So we appreciate that. Mark also sent us a note. Mark Friedenberg says, "Don't forget, I have a Tri-County campaign kickoff breakfast. It is this Sunday from 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. at the Hotel Edison." So if you haven't met Mark yet, he's been in our area a couple of times campaigning his first run for Congress, and now he's back at it. And we would very much like to pass that along to you, as we said we would. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. 1-800-795-9565 is the number. We will be right back.
January, February, March, April, May, June, July, and August, September, October, November, December. Those are the months of the year. What's with making resolutions, whatever they're called, only at the beginning of the year? Grandmom says there are 12 whole months to make changes and that everyone should start simple. She told her friends at her yoga class how simple it is to get their prescription switched to our hometown pharmacy. Then they won't waste hours waiting in line. There's a good revolution. Don't waste time.
Discover the hometown pharmacy difference today. Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills. Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, Market Street, Bloomsburg. Norrie Pharmacy, Duke Street, Northumberland. Trotz Pharmacy, Walnut Street, Mifflinburg. And the Danville Pharmacy, Mill Street, Danville.
Did I say revolution? I meant to say resolution. Oh, you heard what I meant to say. I wonder if any of my friends made resolutions. And what's with old Lang Syne? This kid wants some new Lang Syne.
Welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Strangely enough, off mic, John and I solved one of the issues related to health care. We should have recorded that or been on the air or some, or brought our congressman in or something to get that fixed. Hey, On the Mark has an open phone right now. You're welcome to contact us. We are talking about health care, thanks to Mark Friedenberg's conversation. He and Kamala Harris and maybe many others agree that health care should be free for Americans and Medicare for everybody, although nothing's ever free. So how would you pay for it? Employers is where Mark seemed to think that that would be, or employees, I'm sorry, when you're working, you'd pay for your health care in that manner. So we'd love your two cents on this. We got some texts. We'll read those. We want you to know that the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line is open, and that is a telephone number that is 1-800-795-9565, sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Trotz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg, and the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop. We always mention those towns again because it's so important that you recognize that these are in your communities. Mount Pleasant Mills, centrally located between a couple of rural towns around here and a lot of people who live in the country in Snyder County, and Mifflinburg, downtown Northumberland, Danville, Market Street in Bloomsburg, and 2nd Street in Lewisburg. Half the customers of these places, except maybe Shade Mountain Pharmacy, half the customers walk to the pharmacy. The rest can just leave the car running while it's out front. Don't do that, especially if the keys are in it, but you can definitely make sure that these are short visits to places that are near you. You know the people working there. You know the owners, like Terry and Tyler and Steve and Brad. And these are folks that you know. Kathy Grandizio at the Danville Pharmacy, well known in the community as a pharmacist long before she was a businesswoman. And so they got a lot to offer you. And super friendly drug take back boxes. They don't even have those number devices. And so the hometown pharmacies are there to super serve you. And they're happy to sponsor our toll free line, which is ringing 1-800-795-9565. I said common ground and middle ground, and you had something important to say. Please.
Well, yeah, I think that that there's a general agreement on what needs to be done or what people need. The disagreement is how do we provide what those people need? Good, effective, affordable health care. And how do we deliver that?
Well, okay, and if we didn't have any healthcare system in the U.S., but we had hospitals sort of set up, and let's assume we didn't just have the conglomerates, we didn't just have UPMC, the Geisinger system, that we still had a lot of small hospitals around here, what would you do?
Well, what has happened after the Affordable Care Act is that there's been a huge consolidation of healthcare services. For instance, there are big hospitals, but fewer of them. There are large physicians' practices, but there are few of them. The individual physician no longer wants to can afford to
right,
be
there's
in
no standalone docs anywhere,
no,
right?
Can't afford it because complying with all the government reporting and so forth is just too much. You have to hire more people to do that. It's easier to either retire, which my doctor did, or go to work for one of the hospitals or join one of the big practices because now they have a dedicated staff of so many people who file paperwork and do all that stuff. So selection has actually declined over the last 7 or 8 years since the Affordable Care Act went into practice. And that's not necessarily a good thing because generally the ones that have closed are the rural. If you go to the cities, you know, you got a dozen big hospitals in the city. If you go here, and now we have three. We have Geisinger, we have Evan, and we have UPMC. You know, is that good? Well, that remains to be seen. I think that we have great hospitals. I think that they do a pretty good job. We have less choice.
1-800-795-9565. One listener says, Mr. Friedenberg said 31% overhead, not 31% profit. I think overhead's probably difficult to discern in an insurance company. Are you talking about the lights and electricity or all the staff, which the staff would be a huge part of it? And you say healthcare companies still have that 6% margin of profit is their cap, right?
Right, that's a cap. What the states have mandated for many years is that 70% of the premium dollars must be dedicated to paying claims. The actual claims expense, not the cost.
So rates have to be integrally tied to expenses.
Then the second step of that is that when Obamacare was passed, that increased to 75%, and in some cases, if you're a large employer, 80%. So now what you have is more money going to claims, and if the company doesn't meet those, they are fined. So the companies have had to become more efficient in the way they handle the paperwork and so forth. But yes, overhead is included in part of the expense component. So overhead is salaries, the light bill, the heat bill, medical equipment, all of that now is in that 25%. That insurance companies are supposed to operate on. So you're not going to eliminate that. I don't care if the government runs the healthcare program, the doctors and hospitals and the nurses in the hospitals, they still need to be paid. The light bill still needs to be paid. You're going to have a hard time eliminating that. And that's why it's such an opaque situation that it's hard to really get your fingers on the actual numbers, and it's hard to actually determine how to make this system more efficient.
All right, we have texts and a caller waiting, but who's getting rich on healthcare today?
Nobody's getting rich on healthcare. Let me say something about the Affordable Care Act. Everybody got what they wanted except the consumer. The insurance companies under the Affordable Care Act were guaranteed no loss. Now, that's not normal. Insurance companies are in the business of taking risk, and insurance companies know that every so many years they're going to have losses that exceed the income. But the Affordable Care Act guaranteed the insurance companies that they wouldn't have any loss.
How could they do that?
Because
or how could the company?
The taxpayers pay the difference.
So if Blue Cross lost money last year, taxpayers would kick in?
On ACA business.
Okay.
So the second thing that the pharmaceutical companies got the guarantee of no bid contracts, which means that if you are the manufacturer of a certain drug, you can get retail price. There's no bid, okay? President Trump has said we're going to change that. We're going to make bidding. So there's no bid contracts. Hospitals got what they wanted, no uninsured patients, at least theoretically no uninsured patients. So if the government got what it wanted and the insurance companies got what they wanted and the pharmaceutical companies got what they wanted, who's going to not get what they wanted? Okay, us. You know, and that's the problem.
All right. The text, one of our listeners says health insurance is available to anyone who wants to buy it. Another listener says maternity insurance was always an option before Obamacare. This fine lady, Sherry, needs to tell us why single men over 50 should be forced to buy maternity care. Yes, Stan's a single man. Well, no, he scratched that. He's not single. But he is a widower. There we go. And he is definitely over 50. Let's see. If the government would get out of the way and stop wasting tax dollars, people would be better off. I thought Obamacare was going to solve Medicare for all. or I thought it was going to solve healthcare issues, period. Medicare for All is an unconstitutional socialist plan, just like Social Security and all other social programs for the taxpayer would be forced to pay for. And talking about Mark Friedenberg in general, he said, I want specifics on how all these platitudes about improving the so-called gun laws would actually prevent evil people from committing evil acts. All these laws do is penalize law-abiding citizens using their constitutional rights. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Yeah, Mark played fast and loose with a few facts today, not the least of which is that the NRA does not support universal background checks. They did come out with no negative opinion of the bump stock laws that were proposed, but never imposed, I might add. Maybe they knew they'd never actually get imposed. So, but the NRA, they don't like universal background checks. All right, Dale, thanks for waiting. You're on the mark.
Yeah, I don't know. Many people are coming back into Venezuela. And what?
Dale, your phone muffled there for a moment. Say that sentence again, something about Venezuela.
I'm not sure if people were paying attention to what's happening in Venezuela because the media is really not focusing on the primary problem on how they became a socialist country. Okay? There is no line between givers and getters. Okay? Basically, our same thing with Venezuela. The getters, which all are government workers, Democrats and Republicans, they want more. But the givers ain't got no more opportunity to give anymore. So that's what makes a socialist country. And if we give Social Security, health care, give it out, that's where we're heading. So make it affordable, yes. I say everybody who wants free health care, move to Venezuela. I mean, our president right now is getting bombarded by government, large government, because he wants to give the opportunity of givers to have more resources to give. So if we keep taking those resources away, we will be socialist country. I don't understand if people are paying attention because the media won't explain that to people, because right now the people who took over Venezuela are the Democrats and Republicans, the getters. So I think that we need to give the givers more opportunity to give. So free health care is a bad idea.
All right. We got you. Thank you so much, Dale. Very much appreciated. We have to take a quick break to stay on schedule. Another listener says, according to data from the Kaiser Family Foundation, based on the latest projections in the 2018 Medicare Trustees Report, the Medicare Hospital Insurance Part A Trust Fund is projected to be depleted by 2026, 3 years earlier than the 2017 projection. And in 2017, Medicare benefits payments totaled $702 billion, up from $425 billion in 2007. Obamacare was passed in 2010. All right, so we appreciate some facts from somebody. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We'd love to hear from you. That's the Hometown Pharmacy toll-free line. That is 1-800-795-9565. We'll take our last minute calls about health care. If we're done talking about that, we'll move on to another topic. Welcome back to the BKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Yeah, Obamacare has a penalty if you're a smoker, huh?
Absolutely. It's a higher rate.
Okay.
So, and that's the only underwriting question on Obamacare is that, are you a smoker?
All right, yeah, no other pre-existing conditions. One of our listeners says, the fact of the matter is, maybe it's me playing loose with the facts if I'm misstating these summaries of Mark Friedenberg's remarks. It is Mark Friedenberg who said the majority of NRA members support universal background checks, not the NRA. Well, that could be. Most people in the U.S. seem to think universal background checks is at least worth exploring further, including Senator Toomey.
Let me talk about universal background checks. You cannot buy a gun in the United States and not go through a background check.
At least from a retailer, but I could buy one from you. Or a family member.
If
I could meet you in a park. I could meet anybody in a parking lot anytime and buy a gun.
You can't. Not legally. Okay? I can transfer a gun to you if you're my son, my grandson, and so forth. But if I give you who were not related. If I give you a gun, that's not a legal transaction.
You can't sell me a rifle? Legally?
I don't believe so.
I think you might.
I think you can. A rifle, check. You can. Yeah. A pistol has to go through a gun dealer.
Okay. Well, that's true.
But
okay, good.
So even if you go to a gun show, and there's 50 dealers there, every one of them has electronic stuff, and they could do the instant background check right there.
Right. That's at a gun show.
But if you go to a gun show as a private citizen, you can sell a rifle at a gun show and not do the background check.
To a private individual.
To a private individual.
But handguns have to be checked.
But 90% of the guns that are used in committing crimes are not purchased legally. They're black market. 90%.
Get out of here.
No, 90%.
Are you sure?
I am serious. That was just...
that much you're sure about.
That was just announced by I think Pew here in the last 2 weeks. It was on their report.
All right, one of our listeners sends us a note that says, two listeners just stated that the U.S. is not the rich... Oh, I'm sorry. Come on, Lawrence. Two speakers just stated that the U.S. is the richest country in the world. This is not true and has not been true for more than a decade. Per the IMF, these were the richest countries in the world in 2017 per capita. First, Qatar, with a net worth of $124 trillion, we're going to assume.
I'm not sure what that is.
Yeah, Luxembourg, 109. It's more. Have to be more than billion, so let's say trillion. Singapore, 90 trillion. Brunei, 76 trillion. Ireland, 72 trillion. Norway, 70 trillion. Kuwait, 69 trillion. United Arab Emirates, 68 trillion. Switzerland, 61. And the U.S. is a sum total of per capita rich wealth, 59 trillion, 12th on the list. All right, Bob, we're talking healthcare. Thank you so much for waiting, and thank you so much for calling in. You're on the mark.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. This is about healthcare, but it's not about what people think mostly. When I think about healthcare, they think about treatment. And during this last election, the number one issue with voters was healthcare. And I recently put in an editorial in some of the local papers, and I tried to get it in some of the bigger papers also, because I've worked in healthcare for 40 years. And I just want to touch on what I think is probably the most important aspect of healthcare, and it's largely ignored. And the title of what I wrote was A Nonpartisan Way to Reduce Healthcare Spending and Increasing the Health of Our Citizens. According to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid, the annual cost of health care was $3.2 trillion in 2017, projected to reach $5.7 trillion by 2026. So how is it possible to reduce the health care, the cost of health care, and increase the health of citizens in our great country? And most of the talk, of course, is about access, increasing access and quality. But really the focus should be on prevention. And I don't mean prevention as in annual physicals or immunizations, diagnostic testing, et cetera, but prevention through knowledge. Only 3% of the healthcare dollar goes to prevention. 3%. I worked, like I said, for 40 years in healthcare, and I've seen, and it's well known, that what we see in illness, in people that need to be treated, is self-inflicted. The risky behavior, smoking, drug use, lack of exercise, obesity, nutrition, illiteracy, ignoring family history, etc. There's so many things that our bodies are such an incredible thing that we have to do something to it to make it malfunction. The World Health Organization estimates that 80% of all heart disease, stroke, and type 2 diabetes, as well as more than 40% of cancer, would be prevented if Americans would stop using tobacco, eat healthy, and exercise. So how could you do this? Well, our kids are pretty much captured going to school. They go from kindergarten through 12th grade. And, the individual, of course, is the most important health decision maker. And, of course, it would cost money to implement a program in the schools that could cover so many subjects, from kindergarten through 12, that would increase people's knowledge about their bodies, what more importantly, as equally importantly, what it takes to keep your body healthy. You know, most people know very little about their bodies.
Right.
So would an in-depth knowledge of the structure and functions of one's own body and what it takes to keep it healthy have a positive effect on their health decisions? Are schools, along with the medical community, political decision makers, and perhaps even insurance companies, have the ability to implement such a program? It needs to start in the lowest grades with basics and then grade appropriate, incrementally building on previous knowledge. It would give students the power of knowledge of how their bodies work with all the various systems. Also, things to avoid that would adversely affect how these systems function. They would know the extreme importance of nutrition and how what they eat and drink affects their health and the importance of exercise. And perhaps they would not take their bodies and health for granted, and that they as individuals have considerable control over their well-being. Let them be exposed through guest lecturers on what happens when bad decisions are made to help reinforce what they are learning. Such an education could help avoid or delay the onset of chronic disease, which could drastically lower health care costs.
Right.
According to the Center for Disease Control, chronic diseases account for 75% of the nation's aggregate health care spending, and 45% of Americans have at least one chronic disease.
All right, let me stop you there, Bob. I appreciate you reading that. Very helpful. Where do we even begin? What would be a good start here? I asked the same question of my good friend John here. Where do we begin? Really quickly here, and then we got to take a break. Go ahead.
Well, there has to be a dialogue about health education in the school systems, starting from kindergarten with basics, and by the time a student graduates from high school, the 12th grade, they have a really good working knowledge of their bodies and what it takes to keep themselves healthy and what to avoid. And
all
there could
right.
be other things. I mean, mental health, all these things can be incorporated into such a program. We got, you know, from K through 12, it's 13 years.
But, Bob, knowledge only goes so far. So you want to respond to that? Okay,
yeah,
let me stop you there.
Go ahead.
I'm going to take the break. Bob, you stand by, okay? I'm going to take a break. You're going to hear the commercial just like all of our good listeners are. So you stand by, Bob, and then John's going to respond to you. And I have a quick flip response, one of Lawrence's worthless comments, coming up related to knowledge very shortly. Let me tell you about the Sunbury Motor Company. They're kind enough to sponsor our show. On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. They are a family-owned dealership since 1915. That means for over 100 years, people have been walking away from the Sunbury Motor Company and saying, wow, this is the right way to get transportation. They are located on 4th Street in Sunbury and have for a while, but I still call it the new Routes 11 and 15 Kia location, which has been 20 years now. You can find more about that at sunburymotors.com. See Ernie and Austin over there. Visit the quick lane. Pump yourself up with nitrogen. You can go online. Do as I do. I keep looking on the website ready to build my next Ford Ranger. They do say this is the year. Now, they did say that the previous couple of years. And I can go to Europe and get my new Ranger. I just can't get one here. And the Sunbury Motor Company would very much love to sell you your next vehicle, no matter what it is, a Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln car or a truck. And if you have a vehicle, you're not ready to get rid of it, they're a premier service provider for all makes of cars and trucks. Stand by, Bob. We've got another caller standing by as well. 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, thank you so much for listening. You're going to respond to some of Bob's remarks.
Yeah, Bob has made great points. One of the things that I think is helping, a fairly new thing, is wellness programs that employers have in place that their employers have to do. And a wellness program is two parts. It's educational. They have to look at some videos that talk about prevention and so forth. They also have to have an annual physical, and they get there are incentives if you are in good health, if you have a certain height to weight ratio and those kind of things. The employee gets a discount on what they pay toward the health insurance. So I think this is one of the most exciting things that's happening right now. It's an educational program and an incentive program, and many employers, not really small employers, but employers with more than 50 are implementing these, and I think they're going to be helpful.
All right. Well, yeah, we get a rebate on our YMCA membership. So, Cindy, go right ahead. Everybody gets a minute in the closing moments here. Go right ahead.
Well, I'll be quick. Great news. The public schools do have an extensive curriculum teaching children about their bodies and about illness. And, of course, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Every year in every public school in Pennsylvania, they are mandated to go down the antes, anti-smoking, anti-drinking alcohol, and anti-using illegal drugs. So our children are immersed in an environment where they're constantly trained about these issues. Thanks.
All right. Thank you so much. All right, Bob, you get to wrap up. An additional remark, please.
Well, I think it's still inadequate what they're teaching in schools. From what I gather, just talking to young people, including my children, they don't really understand how their bodies function. And also, you know, you had mentioned that knowledge only goes so far, but knowledge is power. And the more people know about their bodies and what it takes to get healthy, the better off the whole thing would be. And you know, this thing about the employers, that's great, but we have a captured audience in our students for from K through 12, but that has to be completely comprehensive. It has to go from the basics all the way through, and it has to be drummed into them. And it's good maybe some schools are doing it, but certainly not to the extent they should be doing it. And one question I would quickly ask is, would the cost of implementing such a comprehensive program in the school system offset the cost that's created through health illiteracy? Right. And I think it would be.
All right. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the call, Bob. Thank you so much for listening and for weighing in with your informed view. Very appreciated.
You're welcome.
Thank you. All right. We'll get the last word. We talked about health care. If anybody has any more observations, call tomorrow. We got open phones. Joe McGranahan will be back. I hope you'll be listening. You can call in, too, like everybody else. Lawrence's worthless remark is that I know a ton about health care, but I still sat in the recliner for 4 hours on Saturday afternoon. Now, I did a ton of things earlier, but... once I came to nap time, that was it, and the M&Ms started flowing, and the DIY channel was on, and that was the end of that.
Well, I think that, you know, our society has changed. When I was a kid, we got done with breakfast in the summertime. My mother would say to my brother and I, go out and play. Today, they go in on the couch and do the video game thing.
Go in the living room and play.
We used to play baseball and football and army and all that kind of stuff. Today, they play video games. And so the culture has changed, and that's not a bad thing. But the bad thing is we have to educate, and we have to let everybody know, students, employees, even older people, that, you know, anything you do to improve your health not only helps you, but helps everybody else.
I hid so well when I was 8. I'm still hidden. No one ever did find me. I just, about 5 o'clock, I went home for dinner. So as far as they know, I'm still out there.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, my friend. Good
really
to see you
appreciate
again.
It. Wonderful to see you. John Shipman here is our guest co-host today, so we appreciate that. We thank you for listening to On the Mark. We thank Rob Center for keeping up with the calls. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.